you some courage. We gotta fight. This battle is not yours, but it belongs to God. Be a willing vessel. Let him use you. Let him use you. Let him use you. Say yeah. Say yeah. Hallelujah. One more thing. It's time for me to go. But tell your neighbor. Say neighbor. Say it like I said. Say neighbor. I may not know three things, but I may not know two things, but one thing I know, I know he's all right. Now say yeah, roll your head back, say yeah, yeah.
Hallelujah.
Be courageous.
Yeah.
We got to have courage to conquer. Courage. Got to have courage to conquer. David didn't just sit by like everyone else was doing. But David had courage. And the thing about it, he wasn't trained in the army. But he had a relationship with God.
Yeah.
Enough relationship with God to know that he wasn't going to let no devil, no uncircumcised Philistine, defy the armies of the Lord.
We know your hearts are filled with fans for the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Hogan Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campton, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Campton, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1 KAYT, praising the Lord. Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II.
Chapter 9. Gracious God, our Father, we thank you for this opportunity once again to hear your word. Now, allow the perfect teaching, preaching ministry of the Holy Ghost to walk us through the text and teach us from the text, and then help us to tailor our thoughts according to the text so that you might receive the glory and we the good. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6 says, "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, And he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both ministereth bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. For the administration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. Whiles by the experiment of this ministration, they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ, and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men, and by their prayer for you, which long after you, for the exceeding grace of God in you. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. You may be seated in his presence. Just a little while this morning, we want to talk about the blessings of the giving ministry. The blessings of the giving ministry. Notice I didn't get too many amens on that, because when it comes to money, we're kind of silent. Now, we're not silent when we talk about how God's going to bless us and how we're going to get this and how we're going to get that. But I want to show you in the word that truly it is far better to give than it is to receive. To give according to that glorifies God brings to you blessings beyond material wealth. A whole lot of folk today got money and still don't have the joy and the peace. All of the things that God desires them to have, though they have money, don't have real understanding of the purpose for which God has given them control or management of that money. And it's sad to say that God has given to us resources so that we can be reservoirs, so that we can be channels, so that we can be those who are called on by God at any moment's time to be a blessing, because we are already blessed. One of the things that Paul is dealing with the church at Corinth is bringing out, and I want to share these with you, first of all, the principles in giving. The principles in giving. First of all, he starts off in verse 6 by saying, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Now remember now, these are principles. He's making clear, he uses an agricultural metaphor, a very simple term to understand, sowing seed, planting seed, reaping what you sow. A man, again, it's simple to understand, he goes out and he plants one seed. At best, if it's an apple seed, he can expect one apple tree. Now, from that apple tree, he's going to get multiple fruit on that tree, but still, from that seed only comes one tree. If he then took that same apple and from that had 6-7 seeds and planted all 6-7 seeds, he would have an expectation of 6 or 7 trees, which would produce multiple fruit on 6 or 7 trees. Now, one of the things that is clear for us to understand in this principle that Paul is sharing with the church at Corinth is that you determine your harvest by your sowing. You know, I really think the Christian church ought to really be careful about how we act with one another, treat one another, covet one another. You don't have to be jealous or envious of what another person has, saved or unsaved. when God gives you the permission and God gives you the power to sow seeds according to the harvest you desire. Can I tell you, my brothers and sisters, we can make a change and a difference in that we have or that we shall have by the actions of our own sowing, by the actions of our own planting, by the actions of our own purposing in our own heart. Because here's what you need to know. If you desire what someone else has, you must understand that they got it from the Lord or by permission of the Lord or by the Lord permitting it to happen. Even the sinner who has what he or she has, it is permitted by the Lord to be given to them. Now, they might not praise God, might not give God glory for it, might not even thank God for it, but God permitted them to get it. But by the same token, you've got to also recognize that principles are profitable regardless of who practices them. If they practice some sowing principles, they don't have to be saved in order for the principles to operate. It's again in the same accordance with the law of gravity. You don't have to be saved to step one step over the step of this side of the building and come down. You can be a saint, you can be a sinner, you can be a anything. If you get off of the building, you're coming down. That's a law that works. Don't care if you're poor, you're rich, you're ignorant, you're educated, you're blind, you whatever. It's a principle that operates regardless of who practices. Same principle in operation here. So you can change the situation and the condition of your life by learning that if I want more, I've got to sow more. I've got to release more. I've got to give more. Let me just take a survey here today. How many of you would like to be better blessed than you are today? May I see your hands? Now, those of you who have not raised your hands, you are mighty, mighty blessed, or there's another word I just won't call you right now. But here is the truth. Every one of us ought to want more than what we have now, not so we can stack and store, not so we can gather and gain, but rather so that we can be a greater blessing to the body of Christ. You see, here's what God knows. God knows if I don't want more for me, I don't want more for him. God knows, and any of you sit here try to act holier than thou and act like, you know what, I just, you know, it don't take all that. I don't really need all that. All I need is just one suit. I don't need no 3-4-5 suit. I don't need no 2-3 car. I don't need no this. I don't need no other. It don't take all of that. You know what? You need to go join somebody else's church because you ain't getting no word here. You obviously are not seeing your purpose. Your purpose ain't for you to just get stuff to have. Your purpose is to be a witness and a vessel through which God can place his valuables so that as a vehicle, he can guide you to where he wants you to drop some of those blessings off. If you are not blessed, you can't be no blessing. So when you talk about it don't take all of that, what you're really saying is I don't really want to be a servant. I don't want to be used of God. I don't really want to be able to give and share. I want just enough to pay my own bills. I won't give nobody no money to help with nothing else. That's a small mentality, and you will always be envious of somebody else. Look again, because I want you to see something. The word says, verse 7, every man according as he purposeth in his heart. Now, continue again to understand we're talking about principles and giving. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, which means this, I can't tell you what the desire of the Lord. I can't tell you what to give to the Lord. I can't tell you what you should expect from the Lord. What you expect from God is going to be in connection, one, with the teaching that you have understanding of and with the desire of the return on your investment in the kingdom of God. Now, here's what you need to know. God brings resources to every believer in the body. Whatever believer has the faith to believe God for more, God brings them in, because in bringing in more of the resources, God also expects you to be able to be one of the ones that he can use to better the kingdom and finance the kingdom's work. Now, knowing this, you then should desire to be blessed not just for self, but for service. If my motive is, Lord, the more you bless me, the more I'm going to bless your work, you watch God bring more into your control, because he knows that he's got somebody he can depend on who's going to help finance and further the kingdom. There are so many, do you know what, I said this before, I'll say it again, that with the work that God has for this ministry to do, I promise you that we would not have to, if the saints rose to the occasion, went into the resources that God has already provided and is going to provide, we would not have to go to the bank to borrow a penny to do millions of dollars worth of building, constructing, programming for the kingdom of Christ. Not go to the, oh, we would have to go to the bank to put it in, to hold it till we got ready for it. But not to borrow any of their money. As a matter of fact, we're supposed to be so blessed that we are supposed to be loaners, not borrowers. And I've got news for you. Every person that God calls into a local ministry, he has called them into the ministry, one, to be blessed, but two, to be a blessing. He has channeled resources to every individual in the ministry he calls you to be a role player in the development and the defining of the mission and ministry he has given that local church. Every church, I am convinced, God has given people sufficient for the mission and the ministry of that church. And if the people would rise up and say, Lord, what you've given to me is already yours, just direct me, let me be a willing vessel to give to you what is already yours so that you can receive the glory and this world receive the good, getting to know Jesus, hearing the word presented, accepting him, being saved, lives transformed, new resources coming into the kingdom, so that we might reach out further to expand the kingdom of Jesus Christ. This is the purpose of the giving ministry of the church. Now, God blesses you to be a blessing. Listen, in the process of blessing others, he allows you to keep on getting blessed. He's not saying it all should come in and all go out to the ministry, but no, what he is saying is there ought to be a balance there. So the more he brings in, you get to get more than you had before, but then you get to give more than you were able to give before. It ought to be a balance. Listen to what he says. Every man according as he purposeth in the heart. That means you ought to take inventory of the blessings of the Lord in your own life. You're sitting there looking at some folk on the side of you. You can't judge by looking at folk what they have. Because some folk might look good because they spent all they have on looking good. I wish I had somebody here. They riding in a Cadillac because they saw the Joneses riding in a Cadillac, but they really should be riding in a Chevy. Ain't nothing wrong with a Chevy. I'm just saying they ought to ride where they are able to ride comfortably. Let me put it this way. If anything I get hinders me from being the blessing God has called me to be, then I need to let that stuff go. Somebody's not here, and I know you don't want to hear this message this morning. But here's what I need you to know. If I keep in perspective the fact that what God has blessed me with already, he expects a portion of that that he's already blessed me with to go toward kingdom building. When I put him first, it positions me for more when he opens up a new door. When I get the new door open up, he's going to give me more for me. But while he gives more for me, he's going to give me the ability to give more to him. And when I give more to him, it puts me on another level. So when he opens up the next door, it's going to be more for me so that I can give more to him. Are y'all understanding the principle here? And as long as I learn that it's always God's desire that I be blessed to be a blessing, then God will keep the doors revolving with it coming in and it going out, so that those purposes for which he has blessed me are always, always coming and manifested to form. Always. Every level. Always. My giving ought to go. As God blessed me, if I was given $10 in offering and God's blessed me with $1,000 a month, and I'm like, God, this is good. But then he starts blessing me with $2,000 a month. I shouldn't still be at the $10 offering giving. Now he's doubled my income. Should I not double my offerings? You see, it's amazing how the more we give to God, the more we start skimping on God. Well, I don't need to give all that much now. Here's what you need to know. 10% is an equal sacrifice regardless of what your income is. 10% is an equal sacrifice. A man makes $100 a week. 10% is the same sacrifice as a man making $1,000 a week. Man who makes $100 a week pays $10. Man who makes $1,000 a week pays $100. They both have sacrificed 10%. Now here's what you need to know. If you will not give to God where you are, you won't give to God where you want to be. Somebody didn't hear me yet. I said, if you don't give God where you are, you won't give to God where you want to be. You know, it's kind of principles like old folk used to teach. You know, when I was coming up, and people, the older saints had input in your life and in your decisions. And even the older folk in the community down the street would tell you, if they saw you hanging out with some, you know, boys that were not, you know, godly good or savory, they'd say, you know what? Them boys, that ain't nothing but trouble. Now, you don't need to hang out with them because you're going places. Anybody know what I'm talking about here? Then you'd have old sisters and old brothers. They'd look at some of these boys coating these girls, and they say, you know, baby, the way he treats his mama. Can I get any old sister who know what I'm talking about? That same way he'll treat you. If he ain't treating his mama right, what makes you think he gonna treat you right? If he's lazy, hanging out on the corner, smoking cigarettes, talking trash, that ain't what you really want. You see, because he's trouble now, will be trouble later, and all you're doing is setting yourself up for trouble. I mean, it's those truths that many of them shed as a result of trying to help them, groom them to be the kind of people, make the kind of decisions that would be a blessing. Because one of the things that they understood was that when you purpose in your heart to do a thing, you will find the will to bring it to pass. You know, if you purpose or set goals, for an easier term to understand, when you set goals, you try your best to reach goals. But it's hard to reach a goal you haven't set. So verse 7 talks about setting goals, literally, when it talks about purposing in your heart, so let him give. And when you set a goal that you desire to reach, not that someone desires to reach or you to reach, but you made this determination. You look at where you are, you look at where you want to be, you say, God, this is what I'm doing, this is my desire, this is my goal. You put it at a place where it's going to cause you some discomfort, because a goal is usually something that is not attainable instantly. It means you have to set and seek and search and struggle sometime and strain to get there, but you are pressing beyond your present state of comfort to get to that goal. This is what the word is saying. So let him give. Listen to what the word says. Not grudgingly. You set the goal. You set it. Don't begrudge the goal that you set. Because when you set a goal, you're going to have to go through something to get to it. So when you set the goal, don't give grudgingly. And then it says, or of necessity. Because at this point, you are beyond necessity giving or necessary giving. You are in abundance giving now. In this realm, you are giving outside of your need to give. You are giving because you are blessed, and you're giving to be a blessing. And this is going to return a fruitful harvest to you, not because you're giving, because you've been forced to give. And then it says, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Now, you know what? It's hard to get somebody who has just enough to pay their bills many times to give cheerfully. Because what they're realizing is after they give what they've given, if they don't truly understand the principles, now they're wondering where they're going to get money to pay the bill, money they just gave up in the giving. If they understood precious seed and understood that God is faithful to those who yield, who give precious seed, last seed, that they don't have to give, they are trusting God and moving on faith. God will honor that. But if you don't know that, you don't give and then be stressing out about your giving. No, when you give, it's like, here, Lord, I'm putting it in the best investment. I'm putting it in the kingdom of God. I know it's going to, one, be a blessing. And I know when it has finished its course, I'm going to be blessed by it. So there is no greater return on any investment in anything other than the kingdom of God that will yield benefits both on this side and the other side. Look at this word. We move now from the principles in giving to the promises from giving. Look at the promises from giving. And God is able to make all grace, all favor abound toward you. Now here are the promises from the giving experience. And God is able to make. Somebody say God is able to make. Now your neighbor, your enemy, your friend, your family, your loved one might not be able to make all grace abound unto you. But here's what you need to know. As you're giving, regardless of the arena, as it relates to giving spiritually and giving as spirit-led is concerned, you need to know that giving is unto God. Yes, sir. If that giving is unto God, though it may be to a person or it may be to a project or it may be to a mission or a ministry or a church, it is still God-inspired and you're giving it because God has touched your heart and you have purpose to give a certain amount, then here's what you know. The word says, and connecting that to verse 7 of that you have purposed in your goal, God is able to make all this word translated grace is favor abound toward you. Let me ask you a question. How many of you know you need more than money? How many of you really know that favor can buy some things money can't buy? Favor can go some places money can't go. Favor can get you in some doors money can't get you into. Favor can connect you with some people money can never connect. Favor can give you some things that money never could do. I mean, favor, listen, is a spirit. And there are some places the spirit can go that the money can't go. There are some things that favor can do, money sure can't. That there are some places that won't take your money. Oh, but it'll sure take the favor of God. You break down on a lonely, deserted road. Spare tire is either already flat or non-existent. It's in the wee hours of the morning. No help, no cell phone. You call on God. Somebody who was going in another direction heard God say, turn and go this direction. And all that dark and lonely road of which they never stopped to help somebody. Favor say, stop and help this brother. Stop and help this sister. And when they bless you and you try to give them money, they say, no. Ooh, I wish I had a witness in the house. Favor can do some stuff for you. I've been to places, couldn't buy a ticket to get in, but went trying to get a ticket and somebody's, it's Reverend Montgomery. I didn't only just get in, but I got in and somebody who bought a ticket and didn't show up, I got a front row seat. I ain't telling y'all nothing I heard. I'm telling you. Favor. Favor. I could keep on with the illustrations, but the point that I'm trying to get you to understand is God is able to make all favor abound. Listen at this. Toward you. Somebody say, favor come toward me. God is able to make faith. In other words, what the text is really saying is when you learn how to give right, God will direct favor to your address. And God is able to make all grace, all favor abound toward you. You ought to touch your neighbor and say, favor is coming my way. Touch another one. Tell him favor is coming.